The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Rolene Mark standing in for Anthony Reich this week. Good morning. How are ya?
Good morning. Welcome to my world, Howard, of perpetual confusion.
Look, it's December. What can you expect from us, really?
Well, that's a bit of an unfair question to ask us here in Israel, because no rest for us as we power through December wondering why we are the only country that seems to be working.
Well, I'll tell you why, Rolene, is because you get a month off for Purim.
This is true. This is true. A month off for Purim, a month off for Pesach.
Exactly. There's a day before the 3 days after. Then there's all sorts of things. Exactly. So, you know, they say that we have a 2 day a festival, but actually Israel extends it that one day for days and days before. So either way, we all live and we all are blessed. Let's talk about some of the stories that we wanted to cover. Social Democrats trying to oust Jamal Bowman because she's not anti-Israel enough. Tell us about this.
Well, this is an interesting one. Jamal Bowman was part of a delegation that recently visited Israel with J Street. Now, before everybody goes, oh my God, J Street. J Street do consider themselves to be Zionists, however, very, very much in the left side of the tent. But Jamal Bowman came here and, breaking with tradition, both Naftali Bennett, the Prime Minister, and Yair Lapid, the Foreign Minister, met with J Street, which I'm of the opinion is a good idea, because even if you disagree on some points, you still have to engage. And he saw many things around the country. He went to Hebron. He went to Yad Vashem. You and I still had the conversation about the fact that he couldn't mention the word Jews. But at the end of the day, he came here to see the situation on the ground. Now, a statement from the Democratic Socialists of America, who count amongst their tent people like Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you see where I'm going with this. They are part of the Democratic Socialists, and they've released a statement saying that he has once again crossed what we communicated as a hard line by visiting Israel and speaking about the trip. They go on to say, it is clear to us that Bowman's shortcomings on Palestine, unfortunately, are not matters that can be corrected solely through political education. In other words, if you don't take our stance and follow our party line, you're out, which is indicative of where we see many things going today, especially in the political sphere. Now, while you and I had some criticisms about the way that Bowman communicated during his trip here, at least he came to see for himself. And I'm of the opinion, and I'd be curious to hear others, that the reason why these organizations like the Social Democrats, like BDS and others, don't want you to come to Israel is that you might see things on the ground, scenarios that contradict their very carefully calibrated message of, you know, Israel is an apartheid state, Israel's a racist state, and all of the ugly rhetoric which we are all too familiar with.
Yeah, it's, and I think that's the thing, is how do we engage without engaging? I don't think we can. The point is, and I think that the line that we have to draw is that we are allowed to put our view forward as well. Because I think what has manifested amongst the left is their inability to hear a counter argument. So if somebody goes from a pro-Israel perspective to speak, they get shut down. If respect is given to an alternative view, which might be pro-Israel, then I believe there's much more room for dialogue and for these types of conversations.
Well, this is it. And these groups consider themselves to be liberal, but yet they're becoming more and more intolerant by the day. We saw the horrendous treatment of our ambassador to the United Kingdom, Tzipi Hotovelli, the way that she was treated as an Israeli, as a Jew, and as a woman, you know, calls to shake her, to smash her windows, make her shake. It's just terrible. We see the exclusion of Jewish students on campus. One of the hideous situations we have now is at the University of Toronto, where Jewish students are being told you can't have access to kosher food unless it comes from an anti-Israel or anti-Zionist supplier.
Good Jews, a good Jew.
Good luck with that, first of all.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's that good Jew, bad Jew scenario.
Lapid tells Macron that lifting sanctions on Iran would mean military action by Israel. This is a little scary.
Well, we have seen the foreign minister and the prime minister going on the offensive on how to deal with Iran. This is as countries get closer to meeting in Vienna to negotiate the Iran nuclear treaty. And the foreign minister has just concluded a very, very, very successful trip to the United Kingdom, where he co-signed a major new deal between Israel and the United Kingdom with his counterpart, the Foreign Secretary, Liz Truss. And now he has moved on to Paris. He's meeting with President Emmanuel Macron, and he has said that there has to be sanctions on Iran. Predictions coming in from our security establishment about how much time is left before Iran have the nuclear bomb. And we heard just the other day a high-ranking Iranian official calling to wipe Israel off the map. And let's just let that thought sink in. You know, it's not taking a map and putting a big sticker over it. This is wiping out an entire civilian population and everything. This is mass murder. This is slaughter. These words have been matched with the action by Iran. We see them spinning their centrifuges, parading their ballistic missiles through the streets of Tehran. But Israel, unfortunately, we've learned through history that when somebody threatens your existence and your security, we take that very, very seriously. And he has said, our foreign minister, to the president of France, that if Iran crosses the nuclear threshold within 6 months, we will have to take unilateral action.
It's just incredible, because it's when you watch this playing out, it's honestly like a train crash in slow motion, because it's obvious what's happening and it's obvious which direction this is going. And while Iran dilly-dallies deliberately, it actually suits them to drag these talks on as long as possible, because whilst they do that, they're busy producing these potential weapons.
Well, absolutely. And looking at it from the analyst's perspective, we've seen the Biden administration also dilly-dallying about where there are promises. You know, we won't allow for a nuclear Iran, but they're not taking enough of a hard line, in our opinion. It has been fascinating to see who Israel is speaking to now in terms of taking firmer action. The co-authoring of an op-ed with Liz Truss by Yair Lapid in the Telegraph just a few days ago, to me, speaks volumes about who Israel sees as an ally that is taking a much firmer stance. Yes, the Americans will always be our strongest ally, or at least we hope so, but we very much have our focus now on Britain and the Europeans as we move closer and closer to this meeting in Vienna.
Very, very scary times ahead, I think. And the UNRWA is apparently running out of funds.
Yeah, so Philippe Lazzarini, he is the director of UNRWA. He says that unless they get major funding in, they won't be able to pay 28,000 employees on time this month. Now, those employees are already on strike. If you're not familiar with UNRWA, that's the United Nations Relief Works Agency, and it has come under a lot of criticism, not only for corruption. The former director was on charges of sexual harassment. He is no longer in the post. but a lot of criticism because they run schools, clinics, food distribution programs, and are there to look after, essentially, for Palestinian refugees. Israel has said that you can't have generational refugees since 1948, and that if people are refugees, they should be absorbed into the UN High Commission for Refugees. Also up for criticism is what kind of language is contained in UNRWA school curriculum. Some of the worst incitement that we've seen, and our ambassador to the UN has said to UNRWA and the UNRWA chief, you actually perpetuate the cycle of violence. You're not, that the way that you educate the younger generation through this kind of incitement perpetuates conflict and violence and sows hatred, and maybe it works in your favor because as long as this exists, you get a paycheck. Also, UN Watch have exposed anti-Semitism online by at least 113. Let that sink in. UNRWA teachers, 113 UNRWA teachers to date, only 6 have been suspended. But as a result of this, many countries, including the United States, the United Kingdom, who slashed their budgets by over 50%, have stopped funding UNRWA based on what they are seeing. And the organization is now in a situation where they are running out of funds and will not be able to fulfill their mandate.
Is nobody asking the question why Palestinian refugees since 1948 have a completely different status to all the other millions and millions of refugees, even from 3 years before that, at the end of the Second World War, from Syria, from all other areas of conflict, from Afghanistan in recent times. It's just never ending in terms of refugee status and issues. And yet this one group of refugees has totally dominated the United Nations. Why does nobody question that? Why is everybody just going along with it? Feels like the emperor's new clothes.
Well, this is the inconvenient truth nobody wants to talk about. I mean, yesterday we marked the anniversary of the expulsion of some 850,000 Mizrahi Jews. Those are Jews from Arab countries, Algeria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, Morocco, Libya, all over the Middle East and North Africa. In fact, the majority of Israelis can trace their lineage back to the Jews expelled from Arab lands. This was conveniently not even mentioned at the United Nations, but they did manage to have a whole day of solidarity with the Palestinians, including poems read by Muhammad al-Kurd, which if you are on social media, especially on Twitter, you will see some of the most nauseating rhetoric coming from this person. He basically read his poem about empires will fall. Well, how would I know that we're apparently an empire? Who'd have thunk it?
Well, that's really nice. But
we just need to remind him of the pile of empires that tried to destroy us that no longer exist.
It's just incredible. And on that subject, talking about Israel not doing enough to stop settler violence.
Well, this is Linda Greenfield Thomas, or Thomas Greenfield. She is the envoy to the United Nations. And I think she's trying to be as fair and even-handed as she possibly can be. She has criticized the United Nations for a disproportionate focus on Israel. And she says that we need to see more positive steps from the Palestinians. However, she also said that the U.S. disapproval of a settlement expansion goes back decades, and it's now reached a critical point. And what is also reaching a critical point, in her opinion, is some of the violence that is committed by so-called settlers attacking Palestinians. She says she heard stories about Israeli settlers attacking Palestinians and ransacking homes and destroying property in the West Bank. And this is an issue that I discussed extensively with my Israeli counterparts. I was told how many Palestinian families fear eviction from their homes because it is nearly impossible to get building permits. Now, I think we can all empathize with any Palestinians who are the victims of any kind of violence. And maybe Israel is not doing enough. What we do know is that if there are acts of violence committed against Palestinians, whether you want to call them settlers or anybody else, are tried according to the anti-terrorism laws here.
Yep. And finally, we don't have a lot of time, but Miss Universe contestants toured Jerusalem.
They did tour Jerusalem. Now, I find it fascinating to look at, because, of course, I'm always on outfit watch to see what the contestants are wearing. And I don't know. I can navigate many things in heels, but I cannot navigate the old city in a rocking pair of stilettos and a mini dress. The ladies were out looking around Jerusalem yesterday. Don't have a full schedule of where they went, but we do know that they were in the Old City. They went to the King David Hotel. They met with non-profit organizations. They also met, apparently, with politicians. Come on, guys, seriously. Why do this to them?
Yeah.
I would have handled the itinerary completely different. I don't know yet if they
would have spent the day at Mamila Mall, Rolene, with them.
With respect?
At the Mamila Mall, I think. That's where you would have spent the day with them. One coffee place to a shop. And so you'd go up and down. I think that would be very nice.
You know me too well.
Either way, we're out of time. But I do want to talk tomorrow a little bit more about Miss Universe. When does the actual competition happen? Is there voting? There's been a lot of back and forth here in South Africa, people taking the government to task and even questioning them constitutionally for their behavior around Miss South Africa. We're going to talk about that as well with Rolene Marks tomorrow. Try and understand what the next steps in the competition are. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. Good morning.